the coolest. No, you're the coolest. No, you're the coolest. Okay, I'm the coolest. Yeah, I agree.
I am Pastor Floyd Hughes from Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills, and with me, as always, is
Pastor Mark Berkshire with Meadow Run Community Church in Ohio Powell.
And we actually were just running through the just number of different topics that we could talk about in response to what's going on in the culture, because this podcast is all about helping people of faith respond in a biblical and God-honoring way. Two things going on in the culture. And we'll tell you exactly what we're going to talk about in 1 minute, but first and foremost, as always, we're going to tell you what we're preaching about on Sunday. So, Mark, what are you preaching on?
Well, mine's going to be on we just started a series last week called Better Together, and we're going to be talking about how we are better together to complete the mission. The old TV show Mission Impossible, we're taking that and putting it Mission Possible. So we're going to be talking about that.
And I think it was good because they did a bunch of movies, the whole Mission Impossible Tom Cruise thing. That's awesome. We just finished the book of Obadiah, and we're going to start. And it's actually, if I remember correctly, I'll edit it out if I'm wrong. But it's actually, I think, on a Bible study you did on the I Am of Jesus. Yeah, okay. So that inspired me. So we're going to do a teaching series on the I Ams of Jesus that we start on Sunday. So, yeah, that hopefully will inspire a lot of people to recognize not only who Jesus is, but who they are in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that being said, we're going to switch to what we're going to talk about this week, how people of faith can respond to just the violence, increase in violence that we see going on in our cities and in our streets. And we really want to talk about what's happening in Washington, D.C., where, depending upon how you word this, the police have not been federalized, as some people are saying it. They're saying, oh, the police have been federalized. That's not what happened. The National Guard have been called out to be an additional force to help minimize and decrease the crime going on in the streets of DC. And before I ask you this question, let me say this, because this irritated me a little bit, because there were folks who were looking at the statistics, both Democrat and Republican, saying, look at the statistics in DC, it's this bad, and other people saying, oh, the statistics are not that bad. And all of that irritated me, because if you're just the one person who was hijacked, or the one person who was beat, or the one person who had to bury their son, sister, mother, daughter, because of violence in that area, it demeans what you went through for them to say, oh, but the statistics are good, or whatever. And that irritated me because I saw pastors doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump said this, that it's the worst city, but look at these other statistics. No, don't look at these other statistics. Look at those families who are impacted. If even one family was impacted, that's one family too many. Wouldn't we, as the body of Christ, say, yeah, what can we do to help stop that? I mean, does that make sense, or is this me being too political?
No, I think that makes perfect sense. I used to live down in that area, as you did. I lived down there for 19 years in the Washington, D.C. area. And even back in the 80s, I was leery of going to D.C. at night. And my job had me coming in and out of D.C. at night a lot of times. And So, and it's only gotten worse from then. And the thing that irritates me are all the people that are basically standing up for crime. They don't want the National Guard in there because, you know, they can do it themselves. And if you talk to the police officers there, they're saying, no, we can't do it ourselves. We appreciate the help coming in to do this. So, it irritates me that we allow the opinions of others who do not even know what's going on for sure to influence us. And we do that not just in the political realm. We do that in every phase of life, it seems like, that we allow people from the outside dictate what's going on in our own circles. And that's something we need to work against or work better at defining.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like you said, when I lived there, I did not go downtown at night. It was just not smart. I don't see why anyone would, no matter how good the nightlife is. It could be your last night. So it was not worthwhile. And I know I've seen and people posting videos of how last year the mayor of D.C. asked for this and asked, I think it was last year, either 23 or 24, where the mayor of D.C. said, "We look at how bad it is. We need to do something about crime. We need to take a stop." And I'm not going to politicize this because over the years, both Democrats and Republicans have had control of both the White House, the Senate, and the presidency, and neither has done anything to stop it. So I don't think it's a Democratic problem or a Republican problem. I think it's a violence problem. I think it's a crime problem. And like you said, no matter what the other people think as the church, what should our stance be when we see people's lives being taken, people being robbed, people being attacked? I mean, that's literally the instance that Jesus used to show love your neighbor, someone being attacked and robbed. And he says, hey, we should show mercy. So I don't see how we can take a it's not that bad stance or any other stance other than something should be done. So let me ask you this. So for the Christians who live in that area, what do you think their stance should be, regardless of their political perspective?
I think they need to stand firm on the Word of God. Be smart about choices you're making. I mean, don't put yourself in danger, but at the same time, you could be the one to step out and help facilitate the peace in the community, because that's what we are called to do. We are called to be peacemakers. And I mean, Jesus even said on the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who make peace, or the peacemakers. I think what we need to do is, instead of bashing what's going on, bashing the National Guard for being there, the president for sending them in, we need to be lifting them up in prayer and praying for their safety, number one, and praying for results. And I think we in the church have grown cold to anything happening outside of the church. We just don't want to see it. We want to come to our church, sit in our pews, listen to some music, listen to someone preach, and then just go home and forget about everything else. And that's not what God called us to do. God God called us to be a part of the solution. And that solution has to be rooted in Christ, grounded in his word, and filled and led by the Holy Spirit. If we don't have that, we can't do it.
Yeah, yeah. Let me say this, because you did say something that's crucial. Well, you said several things that are crucial. Everything needs to be grounded in Christ, whatever the church does. But specifically, I think one of the things you highlighted was be a voice, but don't put themselves in danger, because the church always thinks we have to go out and we have to minister and feed and do and whatever. And when you can do that, but not at the point of putting yourself in physical danger. We're not called to be the police. We're called to be the church. But at the same time, we shouldn't be bashing the police and the, as you said, the National Guard people who are just doing their job. These are people who are in these roles. They were called, hey, go do this. They're going to do it. They're not doing anything wrong or illegal. They're doing their job. Don't bash them. And I keep seeing videos of people harassing ICE, harassing the National Guard, harassing the police for doing their job. And these are supposed to be church folks and Christians, and it makes no sense. And I get that sometimes there are, whether it be ICE or police, people who do wrong things, and those people should be held accountable. But in the same way, if there's every time, and it happens regularly, there's a pastor that gets caught doing something bad, we don't want people storming our churches, throwing stuff at us, saying, you're just like them, because we're not. In the same way, we shouldn't, demean and ridicule every law enforcement officer for the times when there is one that does something wrong or oversteps. We should call for them to be held accountable, but that doesn't mean we go after every single law enforcement officer, or in this case, the National Guard, who are just trying to do their jobs. And I can't confirm this because, it's social media. I don't know if it's true or not, especially with AI and all the videos you see. But it seems to be that there is less crime because of what they're doing. And they're not overstepping. They're not implementing martial law. They're just trying to assist in upholding the law. I mean, is that the sense you're seeing? Or
yeah, that's exactly what I'm sensing. And I mean, if this is true, and I have no reason to doubt it, there hasn't been a murder in D.C. in 12 days. Not one murder.
Which, as you said, you and I have lived there, and we know that is not the norm.
No.
I mean, if it wasn't several times a day, it was at least every day when we lived there.
Right. And they're not saying there wasn't any shootings. They're saying there wasn't any murders. So, and that's being specific. So I think that the other thing that's irritating me about this whole issue, and it's coming from other cities that may get the National Guard to them, is they're making this about a race issue. And this isn't a race issue. It's not a black or white issue. It is a crime issue. Comes down to it's a sin issue. Period.
Yeah, I would say it's a race issue only if only black people are
targeted,
assaulted, or victims of crime, or only white people are being assaulted or victims of crime.
Right.
But as we've seen, black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Middle East, whatever, it doesn't matter. Everyone is being assaulted. Everyone is being a victim of crime. And it's not only black people committing it. It's not only white people committing it. Everyone's committing it, and everyone has been a victim of it. So it's not a race issue. If it were a race issue, that would be, a separate thing. This is... Yeah. How do we stop the increase of crime? And I heard one radio announcer say, I think this should be the norm everywhere, but I see his point. This is not just a city in the United States. This is the nation's capital. This is supposed to be the capital of the nation that we show to the world. This is what it's like to be in America. It should be the cleanest city. It should be the most respected city, and it should be the safest city, not just because, oh, the rich and the elite and the politicians go there, because it's the model we show to the world. I think of it like when you go into a new community and you're looking for, oh, I want to rent one of the homes in that neighborhood, and they have, here's a model. It's the best one. It's the cleanest one. It's the nicest one. It's the most updated one, so that you say, yeah, that looks good. I want to be a part of that. The same, this is the nation that we show to DC. A lot of politicians go straight there. A lot of them will visit other cities, but almost all of them will visit DC, and they should be able to go back and not say, I almost got shot. I almost got robbed. I saw a mugging. I was watching the news, and this is all I saw on their local news. But that's what's happening. And I don't see the problem with cleaning that up.
No, and I mean, I'm not trying to point fingers, but when they had that summit in San Francisco last year, and the governor of California went in and he cleaned up the area around so the delegates from the other country wouldn't see the homeless and the dirt around. And as soon as they were gone, it all came back.
Yeah.
And that's something that I'm hoping that one of the goals for this exercise of the National Guard is that it will help take care of the immediate problem, but it will fix a longer solution. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think what you just mentioned, they didn't, was it San Diego?
San Francisco, I think.
San Francisco. It was. I think that's what we're probably going to see in Pittsburgh when the NFL draft comes next year. Because right now, businesses are leaving Pittsburgh because of the violence, because it's not safe for their employees. Employees are leaving at their place of work at night, and they can't get to their car safely. They're going out for lunch during the day, and they're getting attacked, robbed, hit, beat, spit on. They're having to step in and over human excrement because of the homeless population. I think they're going to do a temporary cleanup of that when the NFL draft comes. But then it's going to go back to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to make it worse, because people are going to see, oh, this is what you do for them. But we, the citizens of Pittsburgh, we don't get that.
Yeah, and it's either going to make it worse or it's going to make it better, because the citizens say, hey, you can clean up for that.
Yeah.
Now clean up for us.
Let's
and keep, then you're going to have,
keep it this way.
Yeah, you're going to have different people be voted in. And that's another thing that just bites me in my rear end, is that if you want to make a change, if you're not willing to go out and be a part of this system to make the solution better, then don't complain about it. Because we as believers, a lot of times will say, they're doing such a bad job, but we don't want to get involved in either the politics of it or the fixing of it, because we don't want to mix politics and religion together. Because God forbid that separation of church and state happens. You know, that was for a reason. But people don't understand what the separation of church and state really was. It wasn't about separating God out of the culture. It was preventing one church or one faith to dominate over any other faith. That's why that whole thing was put into in the process.
So what should not just the people inside of DC, but the people like us who are outside of DC, Christians everywhere, especially the ones who are making videos and commenting on it. I know we see the protests, which I don't understand why people are protesting against stopping crime. That's literally what they're doing. They're trying to say how, you know, we're going to take this extreme measure to help decrease crime, and people are protesting it. So what can the people, because we're not there, we're not living there, what can people of faith who outside of the area, what can we do to kind of like allow our voices to be heard?
We can pray. That's the number one thing we can do, which you, that doesn't surprise you that I said that first. But we should pray for those who are there. I would go as far as saying, find out, and I know we can do this, I just don't know exactly off the top of my head how to do this. You probably do because you're a military person. But find out where these National Guard people are coming from and send a letter of encouragement to that unit. Just saying, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. I'm trusting the Lord to make this a successful mission. You'd be surprised what just one little card or letter of encouragement would do to a whole platoon of people who are there, or a whole command of people that are there. And I would say even for the perspective of being heard, if you, that's what you want to call it, send a letter to the mayor of Washington, D.C. and say, hey, I'm not a resident of Washington, D.C., but I am praying for D.C., praying that the Lord will protect all of you in that situation.
Yeah, that is a good idea. I'm actually making a note to do a video of just that. Thanking the National Guard and letting the mayor of D.C. know we're praying for. Or is it a him now? I don't remember.
It's a her.
It's still a her. Okay. All right. We're praying for her. So, yeah, that is a great thing to do. I know a lot of people will shout down the mayor of any city when they mess up, but none will say, hey, I'm just trying to pray and encourage you as you do your job. Yeah, that is a great idea, and all of them could use that. I'm going to switch topics, but similar topic, because part of that was not just the violence and the crime, but it was the homelessness in D.C., which, I mean, it's plaguing a lot of cities. So to that end, I did see where, again, I don't understand how people are protesting homelessness, like protesting people taking action. And I will say again, it's not a racial issue. It's not a Democratic issue. It's not a Republican issue, because both Democrats and Republicans have had control of the House, the Senate, and the White House, and neither have done anything about the homelessness. And many will say, well, it's not their federal job. It's the job of the respective cities, governor, state, all that stuff. But why would anyone get upset when a president says, or a legal representative, state, government, whatever, says, hey, we're going to take the homeless people, we're going to move them off the streets and in the shelters? It's one thing if he said, we're just going to put them on streets, not in D.C., so no one sees them. But he's like, hey, we're going to get them off the streets and put them in the shelters. Why is that a problem?
It's not. But I mean, I know here in Fayette County, we have a big homeless problem in Uniontown. And part of it, and we're a small city, part of it is because some of the people just want to be homeless. I was talking to a man who has a home, but goes and stays in the streets 3 or 4 nights a week just because he enjoys being out there with his friends on the street, which is a problem. I mean, you know, most of the people on the street aren't there because they want to be there. They're there because they have no one else or nowhere else to go. So I would think that if whoever it is saying, hey, we're going to take the homeless and put them in a shelter, the homeless are going to be applauding that, because at least it's a warm bed and a hot meal.
And if they're not applauding it now, they definitely will come winter.
Exactly.
When they don't want to be on the streets. And it does present a health issue, sleeping on the streets and not being able to, you know, shower and bathe and be clean. Also, you know, all the lack of bathroom facility issues. I mean, it presents a health issue. It presents a crime issue. So I guess it's hard for me to understand why this is a political issue. I can see why, but it doesn't make sense why a church or a Christian or a pastor would stand up and be mad at any government official that says, hey, let's put homeless people in shelters. Let's give them, let's put a roof over their head, give them a warm place or, an, you know, 99 degrees, a cool place. So, and a safe place and a medically clean place, hygienically clean, whatever. I don't understand why Christians would, short of politicizing it, I don't understand why Christians would, which we were going to do this whole video on when Christians politicize the Bible. And I'm starting to get heated again, even as I think about that, but calm down, we're not going to go there. But yeah, go ahead.
I think one of the main reasons Christians have an issue with this is because they don't know the Bible. And sadly, it's coming from pastors who don't know the Bible. Pastors who have just, for whatever reason, pick and choose what they want to talk about instead of tackling the issues of the day that are out there in front of us. If the church really stepped up and did what the Bible says, there really wouldn't be a homeless problem. There wouldn't be a crime problem. There wouldn't be a hunger problem, because the church would be doing what the church was instructed to do in the book of Acts, to take care of one another. And we do not take care of one another. And that was the whole prompting to the Better Together series that I'm doing, is because we need to be doing better as Christians. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, two cords are good, but three cords are bound. Nobody can tear apart. So when we bind together with other believers, and we bind in unity instead of strife and discord, we can do a lot more than just one or two of us going out and doing it. So we need to get better doing that.
And I feel like that needs to be a whole other podcast where we talk about the division in the church. And most people tend to think of division within a congregation. But I think it's division amongst denominations, and I'm not against denominationalism. I'm against what it causes, the inability of different denominations to come together and work together. Does it seem like, and it's, maybe it's just me, that Christians who take these political stances, whether it be the violence in DC, the homelessness, all this stuff, that they're putting their political perspective ahead of God. Because like you said, we could handle a lot of this stuff if we did what we were supposed to do. Our primary focus, yeah, which is go out and share the gospel with folks, yeah, in the circle of influence. That would help a lot. But I just feel like, and again, could be just me, and that's okay if it's just my perspective. That's actually better than it's not actually everyone else really doing it. So many Christians are putting, I will see them storm the streets and protest for these purposes, you know, political, homelessness. Christians are out there in the streets, but they won't go across the street and share the gospel with their neighbor. They won't speak up as hard on behalf of Jesus as they do for their political party.
Yeah. And I agree with you 100%. We have too many people in the church that are willing to give their money to this, to support the issue, but they don't want to put the actions to the money. I'll give you the money, you go out and do it. And too many people in the church think that's the pastor's job and not their job. That it's our job to go out and spread the gospel to those around us, not their job to go out and spread the word, the gospel around. And I blame the pulpit for that because we don't teach it.
100%. I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just, it's one of the things that irks me the most. And this really hit me back in probably the early 2000s, 2005, 2004. I was a head deacon at a church in Minneapolis area. And one of our single moms asked me to take her to a school that was passing out stuff for Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas. And I literally sat there while I was waiting for her. I was looking around the room, and this was a school doing this, and it was a public school. And I was sitting there with tears in my eyes thinking, this is what the church should be doing, not what the government should be doing.
I have mixed feelings on that. And one is because the government has way more resources than the local church.
Well, I'm not saying just a local church. I'm saying the church as a whole.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also, I forget the other thought I had, but...
No, sorry.
Yeah, I definitely think that the church should be where we can. We should be helping. We should be feeding. We should be clothing. We should be whatever. I think one of the problems, you nailed it, is that people are like, that's a great idea, Pastor. We should food bank. We should clothing bank. We should this. But then they don't want to show up to help do it. They expect the pastor to do that and do all the things and then, you know, go home and spend 20 hours writing a sermon and show up and preach on Sunday and then go do Bible study and do all the other things that they want to see happen that they don't want to show up and do. That's my only problem with that, like you said, is that people, they want the church to do all this stuff. They don't realize that they're the church.
Exactly. So
they're supposed to be doing all this stuff then.
And that's why we need to take God's command, Jesus's command to us, even more to heart than ever before, to love God first and then to love others like ourselves, means that we have to be vulnerable and we have to go out and be real to people. People can see a fake a mile away. And if you're that fake Christian that's coming in, oh, I'll be praying for you. God bless you. God bless you. And don't do anything to help them, then I wouldn't want to be a part of the church either. But if you're out there saying, you know, how can I help you? Can I take you over here and get you a meal? Can I take you and take you to a hotel? Maybe you have the means to do this. Take him to the hotel. Give you a hotel room for the night so you can get a clean or get a good shower and a clean bed to sleep in tonight. Instead of saying, I'll pray for you. I mean, prayer is good and we need to pray for him. But we need to put some feet to the actions as well. And I think that's kind of where, getting back to the policing thing, that's kind of where we're seeing that. We have for so long have said, that's not my problem, that's their problem. And someone's finally saying, I'm going to put action behind my words and say, I want to clean up this problem. And I want to be a solution. We as Christians who are true Christ followers, we are down to the wire. We're down to the first and goal. If I can use a sports illustration, there's only a couple seconds left on the clock. We either have to go into the end zone or we're going to lose the game. And too many times we're losing the game because we're not willing to break that barrier or that line that is in front of us and go out on a limb and say, I can do this with God's help.
Yeah, I think it was. That's why I was looking this up. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And James said, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Not meaning it's by my works I am saved. I will show you that I'm saved by putting my faith in action and what you see me do and how you see me live it out. Which, yeah, as you said, the church has a hard time doing. And again, probably because most of the local congregations are small. But that's why maybe we should do a thing on division in the church in another episode, because I feel like this made me so mad. Christy and I were driving, and I don't even remember where, and she was like, ooh, that's a nice church. And it was out, she was driving, I was in the passenger seat, so on the left-hand side, nice church. As we got to the end of that block, on my side, I was like, well, there's a nice one too. And then we got to the next block, and it was for like three blocks, crisscross, different denominations, churches. Now I remember where it was in downtown Pittsburgh, where there were a lot of homelessness, a lot of whatever. And I'm like, there's probably in that community, maybe less than a few hundred people, less than 1,000. In that community, in that 4 or 5 block area where there's 4 or 5 different congregations across the street from one another. And it wasn't like totally different. You know, one's Mormon, one's Jehovah's Witness. They were all, at least claiming to be by the name, if those are the still inhabitants of it, all under the Protestant thing. Why do that? Why not just have one or two? And I get people are like, well, some people like the more ceremonial stuff, some people like the more, you know, hymns, some people like the more update music. Do a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a church. Do you think we're going to get to pick and choose? Like, do you think God's going to be like, now we're starting the traditional service, now we're starting to this service? I was just reading in Revelation this commentary that was talking about the fact that throughout the book of Revelation in heaven, there is worship, every few chapters, worship,
yeah,
taking place. There's not a, well, we have to set this time for, you know, the traditional one, and then here's the one with the drums, and here's the contemporary, here's where we do ceremony, here's where we do it. No, it's just, here's where we worship God, period. But here on earth, we have all these different types of worship expressions, which I'm not bashing them, but those are the things that keep us divided and separated. In a 4-block area, you have to build. And these were nice. They were bigger than your and my buildings combined, each one. Yeah. Nice building, big, giant churches. And probably in each one now, there's probably less than 40 or 50 people meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the case in most small churches, yet these small churches won't come together to do worship together. I've been trying to get churches for the last few weeks. Hey, let's come together in October on Sunday. It's a bye week for the Steelers, so no excuses. I picked a Sunday that's a bye week. On a Sunday evening, let's bring our congregations together for a time of prayer so we can pray. Because like you said, this is it. We're getting down to the wire. We need to have a holy huddle and get our game face on and say, hey, let's. How are we going to get out and share the gospel? Because, you know, we're on a Titanic. Water's rushing in. We know it's sinking. Let's get a game plan together of what we're going to do to save as many as possible. And churches won't respond. I'd rather stay over here with the five or six people by myself than come together with the body of Christ and let's, how can we all work together? And it makes no sense to me. Not only does it make any sense, it makes me angry.
Yeah, you and me both. And I've had people literally say to me, that's not my problem. Believers say, that's not my problem. My family is safe. My family's fine. But we need to realize we're part of a bigger family than just our blood family. And I know you can't live in the past, but the 50s and the late 40s and 50s, it wasn't like that. Families, communities got together. Churches got together. And they would fill out stadiums, high school stadiums, of all of these believers just for a night of singing hymns and praises.
Yeah.
And now you can't get 20 people out for a praise night.
I would call it an overwhelming success if 20 people showed up.
Yeah.
Prayer or praise event.
Well, just to hit the home run here, you and I tried to do a men's conference.
Yeah.
And I did not get response back from anyone other than the five men that were planning the conference.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah.
We have become too busy for God. That's just a plain and simple point. We have come too busy, and a lot of us are too busy doing God's work that we forget about God in the work. Now, I didn't say I don't like to see God's at work, but we're doing work in the name of Christ that maybe we shouldn't be doing because he never told us to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think we are. I think we're so focused on all these other things, which brings us back full circle to political stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Old churches that will rally their people around political things and perceive social justice issues, but won't rally their people to do the one thing that we are called to do wholeheartedly. No one can argue it. Share the gospel.
Exactly.
But they'll like, hey, we're going to hit the streets for this thing, and we're going to protest that. But they won't rally their people just as hard. Like, we're going to save souls. You know, we're going to share the gospel. You don't have to go door to door. I get that's not safe these days. But right. we're just going to gather, and we are going to storm, the spiritual realm with our prayers. For our community, for our streets, for our people. I just shared this morning. I don't know if it actually went. And look, I was thinking about sharing it. Maybe I did. I forgot. But a picture showed up from, I think it was 2008, where it was me and several pastors on the steps of our local school.
Yeah, you showed that.
Okay, it did go out. And we would gather and we would pray for the students going back to school. You cannot get pastors together now.
Mm-hmm.
All we can do is just post, hey, pray that you're safe and pray that you guys are, you know, being an encouragement to other people or something. It's we've lost our focus as the church. Still the same church, still in the same communities, And many of them, still the same pastors, will not gather.
We as individuals, I think, have lost, I don't want to say the ability, because we have the ability, lost the motivation to stand present in the presence of God. We may be in the presence of God, but we're not present in the presence of God.
Yeah.
Because our minds are going everywhere else, doing everything else. And we need to come back. And this is something God has been dealing with me personally for the last couple months, is being present in His presence. You know, because a lot of times, even when I'm doing my own personal Bible study in the mornings, I'm not present all the time in His presence. I'm thinking about all the things I have to do that day, and how am I going to get all this done? And when really God's saying, you can't spend 5 minutes with me and be in my presence. And I think that's where it comes down to with all of this, is that we just need to look inward at who we are before we look outward at what's going on around us.
Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's close and end. Can you pray for, first and foremost, you know what? I don't want to take away from the prayer that they need right now. And I think we should actually model what we say. So can we close praying for the mayor of DC,
mm-hmm.
praying for the National Guard and the first responders in DC?
Yeah, absolutely. Father, once again, we come before you. We thank you for who you are, for how much you love us, to the effort and the extent that you went to show us your love through your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the blood he shed for us. We thank you for the willingness that he had to come and give of himself selflessly, and just poured himself out to us. Father, we lift up our country first of all, pray for our leaders, and then we pray especially, Lord, for what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now. We pray for the mayor of Washington right now, Lord. May you guide her. May you give her wisdom. We don't know where she stands spiritually, but we know where we are, and we know that we are encouraged and instructed in your word to pray for those in authority above us. So we pray for her right now. Ask that you give her wisdom. We ask, Lord, that you would be with the National Guard and the first responders, the police and the fire and all the others that are there in the city, Lord. Protect them. Put your covering over them, Lord, that they would be protected. Bless their families for the sacrifices they're making in order for their loved ones to protect those around us. Lord, we ask that you would give them a special blessing today. We pray for all of those in the church, Lord, who may be at odds about what's going on and may have different opinions. Lord, we pray for unity. We pray for peace. We pray for direction. We pray that you would put men and women in the pulpits that will preach the unconditional love of God and be able to stand on the word of truth that lasts forever. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.